When Krishna plays his flute, the gopis feel as if a bird has made a nest in their ears, because they can't hear anything else except the sound of the flute. It attracts everyone. And the miraculous effects of his flute are that mountains liquefy and rivers change their course. They go in the opposite direction out of ecstasy, and all living entities become attracted. So one of Krishna's qualities out of 64, which is unique, is his flute playing. And that flute we find out about in the Brahma Sanghita, when Brahma, in darkness, received instruction from Divine Saraswati. She gave him a mantra and said, tapastam tapaetena tapasiddhir bhavishyati. By practicing this mantra, you'll get siddhi, perfection. So he practiced the mantra for a long time, and then he heard Krishna's flute. So upon hearing Krishna's flute, then he uttered the Brahma Gayatri mantra, and then hearing the Brahma Gayatri mantra, then he realized the Kama Gayatri mantra, and he repeated that also. And the mantra he received is mentioned in this book. This is a Diksha mantra that's received through disciplic succession, has to be received from a Diksha guru. But by practicing that mantra, there's a book called the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, from which this mantra emanates. And in that book, the glories of the mantra, which is the mantra that Brahma received, is mentioned, the Gopal mantra. It reveals everything about Krishna's personal abode and our relationship with Krishna. So this book, Brahma Samhita, is very important. It's one of the books, one of the two books that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, personally brought back by hand and had copied. One was the Brahma Samhita, and the other is the Krishna Karnamrita. And he shared those with all of his favorite devotees. And they passed it on to others, and it became popular in the greater circle of Vaishnavas. And we're fortunate through the disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to have these books available. It's actually remarkable if you think about it. Sometimes we even distribute these on the street, you know, to somebody just walking by, and they end up with the Sri Brahma Samhita, which is one chapter, chapter 5, out of many others that are not available anymore, but Mahaprabhu brought this one to light. So let's read all the translations of the Sri Brahma Samhita, and then we'll stand up before the Lord and chant the Sanskrit all the way through. Doing five each, will go clockwise around the room. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. The spiritual place of transcendental pastimes of Krishna is portrayed in the second verse. The super-excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokula, has thousands of petals and a corolla like that of a lotus, sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect, the whorl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. The whorl of that transcendental lotus is the realm wherein dwells Krishna. It is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the indwelling predominated and predominating aspect of the Absolute. Like a diamond, the central supporting figure of self-luminous Krishna stands as the transcendental source of all potencies. The holy name, consisting of 18 transcendental letters, is manifested in a hexagonal figure with sixfold divisions. The whorl of that eternal realm, Gokula, is the hexagonal abode of Krishna. Its petals are the abodes of gopis, who are part and parcel of Krishna, to whom they are most lovingly devoted and are similar in essence. The petals shine beautifully like so many walls. The extended leaves of that lotus are the garden-like dham, that is, the spiritual abode of Sri Radhika, the most beloved of Krishna. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Shvetadvip surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Shvetadvip is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements, such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, as also by the four Vedas, namely Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda, and Nila. There are 10 protectors, Dikpalas, of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Bimala, etc., shine on all sides.
The Lord of Gokul is the transcendental supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. Krishna never consorts with his illusory energy. Still, her connection is not entirely cut off from the absolute truth. When he intends to create the material world, the amorous pastime, in which he engages by consorting with his own spiritual potency, Rama, by casting his glance at the deluding energy in the shape of sending his time energy, is an auxiliary activity. The secondary process of association with Maya is described. Rama Devi, the spiritual chit potency, beloved consort of the Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. The divine plenary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. At creation, there appears a divine halo of nature of his own subjective portion, Swamsha. This halo is divine Shambhu, the masculine symbol or manifested emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo is the dim twilight reflection of the supreme eternal effulgence. This masculine symbol is the subjective portion of divinity who functions as progenitor of the mundane world, subject to the supreme regulatrix, Niyati. The conceiving potency in regard to mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. She is Maya, the limited, non-absolute, apara potency, the symbol of mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the procreative desire of the Supreme Lord. All offspring of the consort of the great Lord of this mundane world are of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine and feminine generative organs. The person embodying the material causal principle, namely the great Lord of this mundane world, Maheshwara Shambhu, in the form of male generating organ, is joined to his female consort, the limited energy Maya, as the efficient causal principle. The Lord of the world, Mahavishnu, is manifest in him by his objective portion in the form of his glance.
The Lord of the mundane world, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands of thousands of heads, eyes, hands. He is the source of thousands of avatars in his thousands of thousands of subject portions. He is the creator of thousands of individual souls. The same Mahavishnu is spoken of by the name of Narayana in this mundane world. From that eternal person has sprung the vast expanse of water of the spiritual causal ocean. The subjective portion of Shankarshana, who abides in the Paravyoma, the above supreme Purusha, the thousands of subjective portions repose in the state of divine sleep, Yoga Nidra, in the waters of the spiritual causal ocean. The spiritual seeds of Sankarsana existing in the pores of skin of Mahavishnu are born as so many golden sperms. These sperms are covered with 5 great elements. The same Mahavishnu entered into each universe as his own separate subjective portion. The divine portion that entered into each universe are supposed of this of His majestic extension. They are the eternal universal soul, Mahavishnu, possessing thousands of thousands of heads. The same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from His first limb, the left limb, Brahma, the first progenitor of beings, from His right limb, and from the space between His two eyebrows, Shambhu, the divine masculine manifested hollow.
The function of Shambhu in relation to jivas is that this universe enshrining the mundane egotistic principle has originated from Shambhu. Thereupon, the same great personal Godhead, assuming the threefold forms of Vishnu, Prajapati and Shambhu, entering into the mundane universe, plays the pastimes of preservation, creation and destruction of this world. This pastime is contained in the mundane world. Hence, it being perverted, the Supreme Lord, identical with Mahavishnu, prefers to consort with the goddess Yoga Nindra, the constituent of His own spiritual chit potency, full of the ecstatic trance of eternal bliss appertaining to His own divine personality. When Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create this universe, a golden lotus springs from His navel pit. The golden lotus, with its stem, is the abode of Brahma, representing Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. Before their conglomeration, the primary elements in their nascent state remained originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is the cause of their separate existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with His own spiritual chit potency, moved Maya, and by the application of the conglomerating principle, created those different entities in their state of cooperation. And after that, He Himself consorted with Yoga Nindra by way of His eternal dalliance with His spiritual chit potency. By conglomerating all those separate entities, He manifested the innumerable mundane universes, and Himself entered into the inmost recess of every extended conglomerate, Virad Vigraha. At that time, those jivas who had lain dormant during the cataclysm were awakened.
The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity, and without beginning, joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. The divine lotus which springs from the navel pit of Vishnu is in every way related by the spiritual tie with all the souls, with all souls, and is the origin of four-faced Brahma versed in the four Vedas. On coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions. But he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. Then the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions. O Brahma, this mantra with Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabha Swaya will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled.
Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural acts for Krishna in Gokula, Lord of Shvetadipa, for a long time. His meditation ran thus: there exists a divine lotus of thousands of petals, augmented by millions of filaments, in the transcendental land of Gokula, Goloka. On its walls, there exists a great divine throne on which is seated Sri Krishna, the formal the form of eternal effulgence of transcendental bliss, playing on his divine flute, resonant with the divine sound, with his lotus mouth. He is worshipped by his amorous milkmaids with their respective subjective portion and extensions, and also by his external energies, who stays outside, avoiding all mundane qualities. Then Gayatri, mother of Vedas, being made manifested, imparted by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma, born from himself through his eight-year holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the state of twice born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, avoiding the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with his hands. I worship Govinda, the primary Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires, in abode built with spiritual gems, surrounded by the millions of purpose tree, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or Gopis. I worship Govinda, the primary Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock feather, and the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyama Sundara is eternally manifest. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore.
I adore the same Govinda, the primeval Lord, in whose praise men who are imbued with devotion sing the mantra sukta told by the Vedas, by gaining their appropriate beauty, greatness, thrones, conveniences, and ornaments. I worship the Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the aesthetic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities in the company of her confidants, Sakhis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual dasa. I worship Govinda, the Premier Lord, who is Shyam Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees sees in their hearts of hearts, with the eyes of devotion tinged with the salve of love. I worship Govinda, the Premier Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna in different avatars in the world, in the form of Rama, Narasimha, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions. I worship Govinda, the Premier Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman, mentioned in the Upanishads, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as an indivisible, infinite, limitless truth.
I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, namely sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes, being reflected in the mind of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever-blissful cognitive rasa. Lowest of all is located Devi Tham, mundane world. Next above it is Mahesh Tham, abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Tham is placed Hari Tham, abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm named Goloka. I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those graded realms. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, namely milk, so I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction.
The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form who bears the name of Shesha, replete with the all-accommodating potency, and reposing in the causal ocean with the infinity of the world in the pores of his hair, enjoys creative sleep, yoga nidra. Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter Mahavishnu. I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of portion. I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world, just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the names of Suryakanta, etc. I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesha upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head in order to obtain power for his function of destroying all the obstacles on the path of progress of the three worlds.
The three worlds are composed of the nine elements, namely fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. I adore the Primeval Lord Govinda, from whom they originate, in whom they exist, and into whom they enter at the time of the universal cataclysm. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist, of all virtues, all vices, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas, from Brahma to the meanest insect. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns up to their roots all fruitive activities of those who are imbued with devotion and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities, of all those who walk in the path of work in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works, no less in the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indra Gopa than in that of Indra, king of the Devas. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the mediators of whom, by mediating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence, and willing service, attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation.
I worship the transcendental seat known as Shvetadipa, where as loving consorts the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord, Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gait is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, "Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen. My beloved, from me to this science set forth in the following five shlokas. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by the means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead, is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of spiritual evidence. Theistic conduct and perseverance in practice. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conductive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion, than whom there is superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to himself.
Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world acts ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me, by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the Supreme Service. Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed that is the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhan, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause. And I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects.
So now let's sing the Sanskrit prayers before the...